Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. We are back. It's the Out of Box Podcast, returning here in the month of August. Football season is almost here. Volleyball season is almost here. Soccer is already underway because they like to get the jump on things. Gray Robertson and Tom Canterbury in the studio. Hello, partner. How are you?
Gray. It's been a minute.
It has. I mean, we've hung out, but we haven't potted in months. Remember when we said we were going to do stuff in the summer and like
We had all these plans and then stuff happened.
You know what that stuff was? Quadruple headers.
Yes. I was done talking for a good month.
We worked 9 to 5 and said off the clock.
You know what? Clocked out.
No one needs us.
I don't want to see a yellow ball again.
No. But then.
But here we are.
We came home and waited a month, and now it's time to talk about that little yellow ball. Yeah.
We saw Montana win a championship, so that was fun.
We did. That'll come up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the only one I was okay with seeing.
You were fine?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
Roll Talons?
Specifically, yes.
Okay. Tuscaloosa Talons?
I'm down for that.
Oh. They would have to have radio. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're available. We know that Montana went to Alabama.
I don't know if that was pointed out during the broadcast from Alabama. That Montana had pitched there before.
In case you were curious.
A couple of times.
We didn't have to ask her about it or sound surprised. This is the Moments of the Year podcast series. We're going to unleash the list. We're going to reveal the top five. Our committee has voted. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But before that, Tom, we get to kind of give our thoughts on some of the things that we've missed. This is always kind of our summer catch-all episode because, as we always talk about, the off-season no longer exists.
Right. Always something happening.
It was another busy off-season. Let's talk about some of that news. And my first bullet point is Texas Tech. Let's talk about Texas Tech. Because I haven't spoken publicly about it, and I don't think you have either.
They're just out here throwing money around.
A new era.
Is legal.
It's allowed.
Right.
They picked up a lot of people.
They did.
Mia Williams, Taylor Pannell.
Didn't take a lot of visits. Just all of a sudden, I'm going somewhere else. And there they were.
The thought that keeps running through my head is the Nick Saban speech of, is this what we want college athletics to be?
Yeah.
This is a weird one because we've had so many months to kind of marinate on this since it all kind of went down in July. And it seems like everybody's just kind of accepted it. And I don't know. It still feels weird to me.
When NIL first became a thing that, this is what we're going to do, this is designed to make it to where players, student athletes could profit off their name and image and likeness.
Right.
They could do a local car commercial if they wanted.
Yeah.
Which I've seen athletes do. Alabama, a lot of Alabama athletes do it. No problem with it. That is what that was designed to do. Because
jersey signing at the local store?
Yes.
All in.
You can actually, sell jerseys with players' names on it now.
Right.
Instead of, here's a Alabama football jersey of number 22, we just can't say it's Derrick Henry. Or whatever.
Right.
Mark Ingram, whatever number 22 was. And that is what NIL was about, because the rules before were so draconian of you can't get anything. Only the school can get it. And it was like, this is obviously stuff that should be going to the athlete, at least a portion.
Right.
It was not designed to be a salary for players. And when it happened, a lot of people were sounding the alarm of, this is going to become a salary for players. And whoever just going to have the most money is just going to go out and buy the best players. Just someone's going to have to do that. So, and once somebody does it, it's going to kind of, burst the dam open. And Texas Tech decided to be that first person to do it in the softball realm. Not everyone has a Matador club that is going to be willing to put that much money toward the sport of softball, because most other places are putting it toward football and basketball.
Right.
I don't see it. I don't really see it as a blueprint for what other people are going to be able to do, because a lot of people just don't have those assets, don't have the facilities to be able to do that.
It doesn't seem replicable, like you said,
Right.
and it certainly doesn't seem sustainable.
No.
Like you can't dole out that kind of money every year.
You would not think so.
Maybe a couple years, but yeah, it's a weird thing because I also understand like the main complaint from Texas Tech fans was, well, if you are mad about it, then
Do it.
spend
You can
more
do it too.
money.
Right. You can do
Right.
it too, for sure.
And totally get it.
Yes.
I think that there can be multiple.
Multiple things can be true at once.
Right. And I am cool with kids making money and getting money. And I don't necessarily agree with pay for play, but whatever. That's currently the system that we're in. We hope changes are coming to that. But at the same time, I also don't agree with the stickiness of some of the arrangements. There were a lot of things that came out that some of which were apparently legal and whatever, but that doesn't make it okay.
Yeah, things can be legal by letter of the law and still,
Be gross.
still not morally correct. I think you saw kind of the true nature of everything that was happening when virtually every person who went to Texas Tech transferring in made a post on their social medias, and none of them thanked Jerry Glasgow, none of them thanked Texas Tech. It was all Matador Club, because they're the one that's given us the money. And again, I'm not going to fault anyone for getting the most money they can get in the situation, legally. That everything they did was legal, but
But just like, don't treat us like we don't understand what's
right.
happening.
Don't, if you're Texas Tech, and they did it for football too, if you're Texas Tech, don't say you can't. People said you couldn't recruit to Lubbock. Like, if Lubbock had nothing to do with this.
Lubbock is not the draw.
No, if someone gives me $2 million, I will move to Lubbock today. I love Tuscaloosa. I love the University of Alabama. If someone give me 2.5 million,
Did you hear that, Matador Club? You can get all in on radio right
yes,
now for the small price of
right.
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million is all I'm all I'm asking.
Nope.
They got Netflix in Lubbock. I'll be fine. We all know what it is, so it's kind of disingenuous to act like all of a sudden Lubbock, Texas is the cool place to be. It's the new Vegas. No, it's just people giving us the most money. And also, this also kind of goes back to a couple of years ago when Kelly Maxwell went to Oklahoma from Oklahoma State. And I brought up, and I think it's fair to bring it up for the people that are obviously making this choice for the money. It makes me question their competitiveness, their competitive fire, because it's not like these people went from a mid-major, now this is going for their chance to win a championship. Some of these people went from places where, the team that they left is a major conference champion and hosting super regionals.
Is also a national championship contender in
Right.
2026.
Exactly. And if you're going to go for the money, enjoy the money. But that also welcomes more criticism and people examining things closer on
Oh,
it.
yeah, the magnifying glass is much bigger
Sure.
when that's the move that you make.
Yeah.
And
Because we
again,
all know why you did it.
right, and that begs to question as well how it's all going to work out. Last year, I had heavy doubts about Texas Tech, and for the most part, I was right. And then they came together in the postseason, and behind Nyjah, really made a run, made it to the Champ Series. They coalesced. They did things that
Yeah.
I wasn't sure they would be able to do. This year, it's going to be even harder. And when my top 25 came out last week, a couple people were like, "Well, how can you ask that about Texas Tech? They did it last year." Yes, they did. This is a whole different ballgame because
Right.
we've seen the Facebook posts from a lot of the relatives involved. We've seen the social media presence. These are big personalities who came in with big checks.
Yeah.
And how is that all going to work? I don't know.
With that $1 million check,
Yeah.
now people aren't going to be quite as forgiving when you have that, slump through April or something like that that happens.
Yeah.
Also, I hope Texas Tech enjoyed having people root for them because that's done. Unless you were a Texas fan, I think most people were probably rooting for Texas Tech.
A lot of people in the stands in OKC
Right.
were going for Texas Tech because they were quote unquote new.
They're the new, the underdog, even though they have the best player in the world at the collegiate level, they were still the underdog. They'd never been there before. I think they were still like, yeah, they went out and bought Nyjah, but not everybody on that team was, so there was
Right.
some homegrown talent there. Now I hope, because that now they're the New York Yankees, and unless you're a Yankees fan, you hate the Yankees.
Yeah.
Unless you're an Alabama football fan, you probably hate Alabama football. So that the everyone cheering for you and all the good vibes from that's done.
Can be a different animal.
Yeah. Not saying they can't do it, but sometimes just bringing a bunch of people in that have had zero connection before doesn't always work. This is not fantasy baseball. It's not fantasy football. We'll
That'll
see.
be, is that the biggest story of 2026? Has to be, right?
Yeah, since
Just everyone watching Texas Tech.
yeah, because I mean we've kind of settled into what the realignment is. There's no huge rule changes or anything like that.
There are a few, we'll
There are a
get to
few,
that.
but yeah, I think it's definitely does the Texas Tech experiment work? I think it worked last year because it's a program that had never even been to Super Regionals, made it to the championship game of the World Series. Will they be able to take that next step? Because now it's expected.
Yeah. Let's piggyback right into the portal moves discussion from here because there were a couple things that happened after we did the season finale
Yeah.
worth combing over.
Some people tried to Hamilton right out the window right at the end.
A very end, the meeting at dawn, etc.
Yes.
Taylor Pannell was kind of the big one. Mia Williams, we talked about that. Otherwise, on this list, I would say a few that really stuck out to me, and these are mainly SEC specific. There were a couple outside the conference that were crucial, but I love the pickups for Arkansas. Dakota Kennedy, excellent outfielder from Arizona. Tiana Bell just like immediately comes in, brings that power element that they were losing with Bree Ellis. And then look out for some of the additions from Ole Miss because they're going to try and do what they did last year with these portal kids. They brought in a ton of folks and players like Kyra Akock. She might have to be the ace. We'll see. McKenna Belair from Florida. We saw her in the FGCL. She'll get a lot of time catching.
Yeah.
Liesl Osteen will get more of a shot offensively. Cassie Reasoner from Kentucky was a regular starter. So a lot of folks that Ole Miss is going to rely on to basically replicate the World Series run from 2025.
It was interesting, in doing games in the FGCL, there were some of those portal people from Ole Miss or either coming or going to Ole Miss that we were talking about. And it was still something you kind of had to get past of saying, this is a person going to or leaving a World Series team,
Right.
a World Series program at Ole Miss. It's just, and that's, I'm not, don't make a video about that. That's not, I'm not, I don't take that out of context. It's just, it's not something you thought. It was the first time they've ever been there. I thought they accounted themselves well. But how does that dynamic change now that they do have that on their history?
Yeah.
And again, for them, there's going to be more expectation of it. Because once you've been there, what do you want to do? You want to go back.
Right. You get that taste of the
Yes.
piano bar and you
Oh,
want to be
goodness.
there again.
Yes. Hopefully for the return of DJ Shauna.
Oh, one day. They did lose Miley Wiceno. She's going to Oklahoma. Interesting.
One World Series team to another. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. Yeah, the timing of it and everything was just.
Yeah, she went late.
It's one of those I've.
Oklahoma being very aggressive for her was a little surprising to me.
Kind of eyebrow raisings. I'm not 100%. I mean, she's obviously gonna play.
Yeah.
But I'm not exactly sure where she fits in. It wasn't like, the year before where Oklahoma's like, we really need, we need some pitching
Yeah.
in the portal. they'd already added a couple people and were kind of in an okay spot. And then,
Good freshman class coming in and pitchers.
So, I mean, we'll see where she fits in there. And I'm sure the price tag wasn't small for her.
Anybody else on this list you
Well,
want to shout out?
you mentioned the FGCL earlier. Kylie Shaw from Florida going to Auburn. That's going to be a sneaky, really good pickup for Auburn.
Just like auto leadoff in my mind.
Oh, man.
She was so good this summer.
Yeah.
She's a good kid, softball sicko,
Yeah.
like obsessed with the game. She'll be great.
As two Alabama guys, we're going to be rooting for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good kid.
Yeah, good kid. Addison Fisher going to Georgia. UCLA's number three last year. Now Georgia's number one, presumably, with Randy Rolling at least a 1A, 1B situation.
Georgia was pretty aggressive in the portal.
Georgia made moves, got Bailey Lindemuth. They made some plays.
It's almost like it's going to be a free agent type situation in the transfer portal. Not that it wasn't already, but even more so of we got to have somebody set what the market's going to be.
Right.
And then the dominoes will fall after that. But the thing is, like in the pros, all right, this person's contract is going to be up. They're going to be a free agent, so they're going to be the one that sets the market. You don't know who's going to be in the
It could be
portal,
anyone.
so you have no idea what the market's going to be or when it's going to get set, which is where obviously this is like with the house settlement and other places where the NCAA will have to establish some guardrails somewhere
Right.
just to make it feasible for anyone to be able to manage the landscape.
Yeah, it makes coaching complicated,
Oh, goodness.
but people are still doing it.
Sure.
Shout out to you, brave souls out there around the country.
Yeah.
A couple coaching changes. Cal hires Steve Singleton, which leaves a void at Texas filled by Aaron Erlewine from Ole Miss. Fascinating.
That's the word.
Yeah. I wish Sing the best of luck. I think he's got a good staff behind him at Cal. He knows the area. Cal's a very tough place to win in a lot of sports, but I think he can do it.
Yeah.
Texas brings in a guy who has an interesting past, and I'll leave it at that.
But a lot of success.
Right. I could pinpoint him as one of the reasons why Ole Miss made that run to the World Series. So,
How does this affect Ole Miss now?
right. Ole Miss has not hired anybody as of this recording. Fit is going to be crucial for Texas and for Ole Miss. Jamie Traxel's got to be like, oh my gosh, again, I have to hire someone else.
Yeah.
Again, another staff change. That's like 10 in the last 3 seasons. But
Finley's still on staff.
Finley's still there.
Okay.
Just a scenario that lit up the group chat, let's just say.
Sure. I suspect there were several group chats that we're discussing.
Yeah. I'll shout out Lindsey Fico going to FGCU.
Yeah.
Hung out with us a little bit in Florida. That was fun. And Charlotte Morgan, Fresno State head coach.
Which is really cool. I think that's, she had done about all you could do at Cal State Northridge.
Yeah.
I mean, that talk about tough places to win. But, Fresno, a program that has a lot of history, but it's not recent history. But probably one that I think, if she's the right one, can, be one of those non-Power Four programs that can move up and, when whatever the dust settles on whatever the Pac-12 is going to be, if they're going to be a power conference in softball or not,
Right.
but that's, it's probably a good spot to be on the bottom floor of it.
Yeah. Fresno, to your point, is such a historic softball location. And there was this discussion on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I think it was from the stands who started it, talking about like who are the five blue bloods of softball. And so naturally, I want to go into this with like all the information. So I'm doing a bunch of digging, and you forget how good Fresno State was for so long, kind
Yeah.
of up until the mid 90s when things really truly shifted into the power conferences.
Yeah.
But I could argue for, 3 decades, Fresno was a blue blood in
Yeah.
softball.
Yeah, it was them, UCLA, and Arizona.
Right. Do you want to do rule changes or AUSL?
Let's knock out AUSL and go back to the
Okay.
original changes.
Tana won.
Yes. That was like I stepped into a short range time machine
Yeah.
and it was 2021 because she absolutely shoved it.
Oh my
It
gosh.
was great.
In case you missed it, the
Well,
Tuscaloosa Talons beat the
you
Chicago Bandits. I'm just making guesses out
know,
here.
might as well.
In the Champ Series, played at Rhodes Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Game one, Georgina Corick did her thing. Megan Faramo shut it down. So we knew. Game two, Montana's getting the ball. Now, complete games in the AUSL this year, not a thing very much.
No.
Georgina had a couple. Megan Faramo had one. Rachel Garcia had a few. For the most part, complete games, not a thing. You utilize your whole staff. But
Yeah,
there,
you got a good one.
right.
So go ahead and utilize it.
But there came a point in that second game of the championship series where it was like, oh, Montana's not
Yeah.
going to give up the ball.
No.
She is going the whole way, and they just need to get the one run somewhere to win this. And it was a little OU magic,
Yeah.
little Sydney Romero bomb out to left field to get the win. But very cool to see Montana have that, and really great to see Tuscaloosa truly rally around pro softball because, like, the people showed up, they were loud, the atmospheres were great for the regular season weekend. And if the AUSL does decide to stick the talons in Tuscaloosa, which I wholeheartedly endorse, I think it would thrive.
Oh yeah.
I think the people would be all about it, and we got a great glimpse of that a couple weeks ago in the AUSL championship.
Because if they do go to city based, you got to go places where the stadium already exists
Right.
and the fan base already exists. I would love for pro softball to get to the point where we're building stadiums and hopefully it gets there, but it's probably not there yet. So, you know, you'll have to go places that already have a fan base and a stadium established. They had great crowds all over the place. The
Yeah.
entire barnstorming tour, they had great crowds.
Round Rock was great. I heard a lot of great things about the trip to Seattle. They really
Yeah.
showed up. Salt Lake was awesome.
Right. Carolina was, they had some
Yep.
really good crowds. I don't think any of them were at the level that Tuscaloosa was, for the championship especially. Just what a performance by Montana and the rest of the team. No surprise, Lisa Fernandez put together the best pitching staff in the league, and great pitching in big time softball. Great pitching will win the day,
Yeah.
and it did there. And yeah, the only time I thought that there was a possibility that they might take Montana out is when there was the second weather delay during the game,
I also feared that.
and I was, but I think also the fact that the Talons had won game one kind of gave them the buffer of, we'll let Montana go. Worst case scenario, we don't win this game. We have the rest of the staff
Right.
for game three, whereas the Bandits will have pitched, they pitched Kilfoyle in game one. They had pitched virtually everybody throughout for their roster. So I think that probably factored into a little bit too. And then I'm sure Montana said, no, I'll just handle this. Got this. Got her with her eyes with
He
that.
had shove face.
Oh my gosh.
And like when I talked to her after the regular season weekend against the Volts, I was like, Tana, you had shove face. And she was like, yeah. And when she gets that look, like, y'all, if you're new here, that was something that we picked up on her freshman year. Like, there would be that time where you would see
Yeah.
just the look on her face, the look in her eye, and it's like, uh-oh.
Right. And it's impossible to have that all the time.
Right.
But there, when the occasion called for it. It was there.
She stepped up.
Yeah.
So here's what we know. There will be six AUSL teams next year. The four that they had this year, plus two additional teams. One of those additional teams, I am pretty confident Sooner fans will enjoy hearing about being in the league. Now, how they fold in, I don't know. Because the other thing
Is
is,
this a team I saw in person this year?
yes.
Okay, I
It's,
thought so.
yeah. Now, how they fold in is another interesting piece because there are, from my understanding, and the numbers have been fluctuating also from my understanding, the protective picks, like how many does each team get to hold on to, and then everybody else goes in a pool, and then we redraft and blah, blah,
Right.
blah. So a lot still being decided, but the thing that we do know is the goal is for each of these teams to have a host city. And we've referenced it a few times, but like, The Tuscaloosa Talons, especially if they protect Montana, Tuscaloosa Talons, you will sell out.
Oh, yeah.
You will have the support of the community. You'll have the support of the city. Alabama was all in as a
Sure. Oh,
university.
yeah.
And it just seems like a no-brainer. Now, if you don't keep Montana, A, what are you doing?
Right.
B, then you run into a little bit more of a question mark because, like, the people love Montana, and
Right.
that's, a big reason why the crowd was what it was, not
Yeah.
just because of the softball. So there will have to be some business decisions made
Yeah.
in this as well.
I will say though, like I was very I wasn't surprised, but I was impressed how much the Bama fans that people there I know you're an Alabama fan, you come to every Alabama game.
Right.
That how much they supported people that were not Alabama players. You know, like Bree Ellis got a standing ovation. I'm like, wow, okay, good. That we appreciate your ability.
She went to Auburn and
Right.
Arkansas.
So you know, that was cool.
Yeah.
I was, you know, Tory Vidalis. People were very excited.
Tor, can we talk about the double play?
Oh man.
Tori Vidalis in the seventh inning at Rhodes. That
Yes.
girl conjures up magic, but this time her team won,
Yes.
crucially.
Yes.
The double play was sick. That was like, man, she still got it. And
Oh yeah.
Tori's been so good for so long. I mean, she graduated in 18. That was
Yeah.
her senior year.
She's the elder statesman for sure.
Yes. And she is still out here, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
like she hits 3 7th inning home runs for Texas A&M against Alabama. Alabama won all three games.
Obscene.
Just
It wasn't her fault, I'll
no,
tell you
she
that.
did everything she could.
If they had anyone on base for these home runs, maybe. Because she remember she also had the home run against Florida in Supers, and then
Right.
that Tory, seventh inning Tory.
But she got the championship this time.
That's true. Shout out to the Talons
Yes.
and AUSL Talons. Like, again, I don't know what else I have to do to make it abundantly clear that we're in. If the Talons need radio,
Right.
call us
T Canterbury RTR on the Twitter.
at Gray underscore Robertson. I'll
Yes.
give you my email, my cell phone numbers on my website,
Yeah.
perhaps foolishly. I've had people text me before and I'm like,
Who?
uh-oh.
Yeah.
But I will answer yours.
You have a website?
That's not, yeah, grayrobertsonsports.com. Uh-oh. Not everyone's gonna find it.
Partners, a decade. I never knew you had a website.
I have a website. Yeah, you're on it a couple times. There are pictures of us.
Great.
Yeah, it's great.
No one told me.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not the first thing no one tells me about.
It was a school assignment. Now it's
It still exists.
now it still exists. And I update it from time to time. Speaking of updating,
Oh, segue.
rule changes. It's a rule change here, Tom.
Okay.
We've been doing the Rule Book Club on the Softball America podcast feed, folks. If you're listening, please go check those out. We had some great ones.
I assume a full breakdown of Appendix G is available.
Appendix G, we did obstruction with special guest Marty Ebezician.
Ooh.
Yes, we've done out of the box. We're doing strike zone as we record.
Giving strike zone?
Giving. Sometimes the offense is giving. So, a couple things have shifted. We will talk about that in a minute. I wanted to start with the announcement that came out today.
Yes.
How bizarre, first of all, that a major decision was made before we recorded.
Usually, yes, this would have been something to come out tomorrow morning.
Of course.
Yes.
So the NCAA is seeding 1 through 32, sort of. Now, here is officially how it works. Brady's got a great article on Softball America. It is free, so go check it out. Basically, 1 through 32 with like buckets of four. So essentially kind of how they rank the college football playoff top 25.
Yeah.
Like you've got, 29 through 32 eligible to go to seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4. This will certainly help in some aspects where we've seen the 15 seed get like the, I don't know, the 27th RPI team, and then the
Right.
7 seed get the team that was second out of hosting a regional. This
Right.
will adjust some of that.
Yeah.
I already know what you're going to say, and we'll get to that in a minute.
I was waiting.
But it is a good first step. They did this in baseball. They did this in softball. They've already done this in soccer and volleyball. We're very, very close to getting, I think, what you're about to posit. We just, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, and this is the first step.
How long has this tournament existed? Why are we just now taking a first step?
Look, I'm not here to judge the walking speed of the NCAA. I'm just happy that it
Sure,
happened.
yes. And I mean, I think the buckets of teams is probably a good idea because that way you're trying to avoid, teams in the same conference playing each other and
Right.
that type of stuff. So I understand that. But the question I have, it's a 64 team tournament.
It is.
If we've gone this far, why not just do all 64? Do it only requires, two more buckets per line here, a four.
That's
I
true.
mean, I think it's, I th and I think you should also maybe even if you're truly seeding it, look at, okay, if two people from the same conference are in the same regional, fine. Because these conferences are huge. And I think you almost lose some of the integrity of the seeding if you're trying to avoid SEC teams and ACC teams playing each other.
It will be hard to do.
I am happy that they're at least addressing it somewhat.
The journey is beginning.
Right. But if, because I know what some, if someone from the NCAA was here, they would say, well, the reason why is because we're having geographical considerations
Right.
and travel considerations for seeds 3 and 4, to which I would reply, so then why is Boston University going to Norman, Oklahoma every year?
Correct.
And I would also say, University of California, who you can see the Pacific Ocean from their football stadium, is in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Of course.
Miss me with your geography.
Yeah.
Just seat it. Buy the plane tickets.
I don't look, I
And
don't.
if you're going to send Binghamton to Eugene, Oregon, get them there. Don't have to be shamed on social media to get a charter plane back.
Yeah. I am on team seat all 64. Very much so.
I'm the captain of it, apparently.
I'm all in. But we gotta start somewhere. This is a good start. I think we will get there. I do. Because the geography thing is pretty antiquated, and like at the end of the day,
UCLA and Rutgers are in the same conference.
right? I
Come
mean,
on.
let's give some of these schools the opportunity to experience
Yeah.
some things they haven't before.
Right.
I would love for a SWAC team to get to go to LA or something. They don't,
Right.
they don't get to play UCLA all that much. They play all of us all the time.
Bethune-Cookman shouldn't have to go to either Tallahassee or Gainesville every year.
Right. Okay, rule changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, video review has added some things.
Oh, great.
We have a double first
How
base.
about that?
We have new language for obstruction.
It is the language wipe it off the face of the earth? Because that's what
No,
I would like.
it's more complicated, actually.
Okay.
But
Well, great.
they added
I was
another
like, you know
line.
what? I was like, you know what? Obstruction is too simple.
I say more complicated. More complicated, and they've added multiple other sentences. I think the addition of the sentences makes it a little bit more clear.
Yeah. Did the defending player tackle the runner? No, it's not obstruction.
Okay.
That should be the rule. Even in the seventh inning of the championship game of the FGCL.
Uh-oh.
That's another.
Oh,
Of course we had two reviews
open some wounds
that
at your
said,
top.
oh my gosh. Sorry, Brittany.
We love you, but
Yes.
yeah, it's tough. It's hard out here.
It's the rough. It's rough.
So you get your challenge back now, if you're correct.
Good.
We think that's appropriate.
Sure.
Double first base. Patrick Murphy has been on that charge for years. They have added one-way electronic communication. We saw that in the FGCL.
Yeah.
The one thing that they did not change is the out-of-the-box rule. Because, of course.
What were they proposing to change,
So
though?
they were proposing that if a hitter has 1 foot completely out of the batter's box, an immediate dead ball auto out is called. Completely out. So if you're halfway, it's fine. But
Well, if you were halfway, was it still a foul ball or still a strike instead of out, or was it?
as far as I know, it was going to be okay.
Okay. So they were going to make it to where it has to be the entire foot, but if it's an out instead of a
Right.
strike, but if it's only halfway out, then you're good.
Yes.
Then it's a live ball.
Yeah. But they rescinded it, so it doesn't
So
matter.
it's back to normal.
Yeah, so it's back to what it was.
Okay.
Strike until two strikes, and then bye-bye.
Okay. I thought for the most part it had gotten kind of dialed in.
I
So
agree.
I'm okay with it,
I
really.
think that this is the closest that it's been to the proper punishment for the proper crime.
Right. Because remember way back when this first all it, they were just trying to eliminate, the people being three steps out of the box slapping.
Correct.
But as per usual, the reactionary way that we enforce rules in softball, they went way too draconian with it. And then we kind of, I think we found the happy medium.
I agree.
So, on something that's very difficult to officiate anyway, because you're asking a umpire who's watching the ball to also somehow watch somebody's foot.
One other thing about review. Here's what the language says. During a video review, the defensive team will remain on the field and can huddle or warm up.
Hey,
We
about
can
that.
now hang out during these lengthy reviews. We don't have to just stand in our position for hours.
What a weird rule that was to begin with.
The umpires would
Like,
go and be
well,
like, get
get
away.
away from each other. Stop talking.
Quiet, children.
Right.
Like, what? So
Yeah.
that's fine.
Makes
It's good to
sense.
have a little normal
Yeah.
decency.
Common sense. I'm just asking for it.
Anything else on the rule stuff?
I mean, I'm glad common sense finally came along, and apparently supply chain issues have been resolved, and we can do the double base.
Shout out to shipping.
Yes.
Shipping and handling.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, including professional leagues were using it. It made no sense for. And hopefully this will eliminate some of the, interference
Right.
calls that we saw so inconsistently applied.
Very erratic rulings,
It
like
was
week to
right.
week.
Like we, and I feel as though us as the Alabama guys, we saw the literal exact same play 2 weeks in a row, and they were and the rule was applied exactly opposite
Yeah.
from 1 week to the next, and it hurt Alabama both times.
And we got the full explanation after the first one, so
Right.
we knew what to look for the
Right.
second one.
And the exact thing happened that needed to happen, and it wasn't. And they said no. And we're like, what?
That was great. What a time to be alive.
One of the many times I wanted to throw something in the press box. Only did it once.
And that pen somewhere is telling the tale of how it was hurtled across the room. Speaking of Alabama, the
Ah.
final thing before we get to moments of the year, the additions.
People listen to this podcast are like, I thought this was a moments
Yeah, I
podcast.
know. We'll get there.
Yes.
You know what? But you missed us for months. This is what you get. Pipe down. Jenna Young and Brooke Wells joining Tuscaloosa. We assume they're moved in, that they're going to class soon. Jenna Young coming from Iowa, impressive infielder. Brooke Wells, highly touted, went to Houston, led the team in a lot of the big sexy categories, home runs, RBI. She was really their main power threat. I didn't realize this, but I've called one of her games before because she played in the Alliance All-Star game a couple
Oh,
summers ago.
how about that?
Excited to have them there.
And we called a Jenna Young game because Iowa came to the Crimson Classic.
That's right. So the familiarity exists.
Yes.
Where they fit in on this team, I don't know because there are options at the positions where they're supposedly going to be. I've had some questions about Brooke Wells pitching. That's not really a factor based on my understanding of the pitching staff and a couple of the conversations. If she wants to throw, who's to say she can't? But right now, that's not really why she was brought to Alabama.
Yeah.
And just, an interesting development for fall ball because now you got some true competition at some very important spaces in the field and in the lineup.
Got competition, and it's going to, I think the biggest thing for the offense of Team 30 was how will you replace the offense of Brooke Ellis-Ede and Callie Heflin? I think we have our answer. Either it's going to be Jenna Young or and Brooke Wells, or someone who's currently on the team is going to have to take the next step.
They're going to get pushed
Right.
and have a Callie Heflin type year
Exactly.
because of the competition that exists.
There you go.
So we'll have more about Jenna and Brooke. We haven't even met them.
No. I'm
So
sure they're lovely people, but
I can't wait.
yes.
I believe the first meeting was today. So everyone's like just now here.
You're right.
We'll get to know them. We'll get to know the freshmen, and we'll have some reporting to do after softball media days, I'm sure.
Yeah, in fall ball, we'll actually see them.
Yeah. Okay. Is that everything? Did we get it all?
I think so.
If we missed any, don't tweet us about it because we're not going to be recording until media days.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Unless we do,
An emergency. If something crazy happens, we'll do an emergency pod on.
yeah, well, emergency pod. There might be an off topic here and there that I need to get to, but now it's time to talk about the moments, the things that brought the people to their feet in 2025. We had 11 nominees this year. Our panel remains fluid. There are some mainstays, but we, for the most part, try and do the same we always do. The two of us, we have the coach vote, we have the support staff vote that rotates. Coach vote rotates a little bit too. We have the media vote, we have people within the team, we have some alums, we have a fan vote. I even got a couple professionals in their field to
Wow,
join
I see.
us
Yeah.
this year, as you can see the list. So it's an all-encompassing look at this team and the season.
Did Dylan vote? That's the main
Dylan
question.
did not vote,
Oh.
but she did just turn four,
Okay.
and that is worth mentioning on this
Sure.
pod.
Sure.
Happy birthday to you, Dilly. We love you. But she did not vote. Maybe when she turns six, we'll give her a vote because she goes to games, honestly, more than we do.
Yeah, she sees all the games.
Yeah, she's been there. She is in the room, let me tell you.
She knows what the girls did.
Yes, she did. The girls.
The
And she
girls.
can hit too, by the way.
Smoke middle.
Yes, indeed. This was as tight as it's ever been, honestly. I mean, we, one, two kind of separated. Three kind of had a little bit of a gap between four and five, but there was a two-way tie for fifth place, and then just outside seventh was 1 point off. Not surprising considering when Alabama had like the high moments, they were really, really high in 2025.
Yeah. There were some just, which we will get to during these podcasts, just unbelievably dramatic and huge moments. With all the nominees, there were a couple, oh yeah, that are it's like things that you don't really think of because you have some of these other moments in your head, and then it kind of overshadowed some of these other big moments. And the fact that there were a few low moments as well, I think also made you appreciate those higher moments even more.
All right, so you can see the top five. We will reveal number five momentarily. What in the nominee list or not on the nominee list that did not make the cut, Tom, do you wish had?
The trip to Columbia, South Carolina was overall not great.
Correct.
The cinnamon roll deli was wonderful. The
Thank you
vine.
to Dr. Natalie Britt for bringing us extras.
Yes. The newest member of the Tom's Hungry Hall of Fame. But game one was fun.
Yes, it was.
That was before it started raining and doing all the other stuff it did.
Is that a fast enough start for you, Tom? 10 runs in the second inning.
Get any faster. So that was, I voted for that one on my ballot to make it. It's I think the only one that I voted for that didn't make the list. So I shout out to putting up a 10 spot on the Gamecocks.
I had two that I voted for that did not make the list. I do want to specifically shout out the walk-off of Missouri game two. I was the only person that voted for this game. And it was a weird one. And this would have been some odd audio to play because Missouri does tie the game in the top of the seventh with the home run before Alabama would walk it off in the home half. But the reason that I wanted this game in here was because it would have included the third inning when Haley McClenney joined up and Callie Hevlin hit the home run. And Haley got to break it down, which, by the way, congratulations to the newly married Haley McClenney.
Indeed.
That would have been fun. I wanted that in there. And you know what? No one agreed. I was the only person who had that in my top five.
I wonder if you had caveated Haley McClenney commentary.
Parentheses, Haley's in here, vote for it,
Yes.
morons.
I think maybe you might have gotten a few more votes.
Yeah. But alas, it didn't. It basically came in last.
Oh, well.
So, but not because of you, Halo.
No.
Probably because Missouri hit a home run in the seventh. Even though that's one of like the two actual walk-offs Alabama had all year, not on the moments list. Wild. Really didn't even come close.
Those were the only way too? Huh.
Like genuine
Genuine,
walk-off.
right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple run rule walk-off.
Well, those don't count.
Correct.
They're game ending plays, not walk-offs.
Yes. That's accurate. Okay, should we reveal number five?
Sure.
Okay. The number five moment of 2025, the first and seventh innings at Florida,
Yes.
game one. So let's harken back.
This was the weekend of the pin throwing, but not during this game.
Different time.
Yes.
You know, Alabama wins a thriller on a Monday that we will get to.
Yes. That might make the list.
Perhaps.
Yes.
We quickly turn around and drive to Gainesville.
Fastest turnaround ever.
We show up. We get to practice. Next day, we come for game one. We're wondering, all right, let's see, like, what's Alabama going to do?
Right.
And they put up a seven spot in the first inning.
Pretty good start.
Yeah, and then hold on. There is a reason. This is, I believe, the only game where I did not include our post-game discussion. That first inning, kind of, I think, outside of maybe the South Carolina inning, kind of showed us the best of Alabama in a one-inning glimpse.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, there were some of the concerns that showed up for the rest of the game, but that having the ability to put up that type of an inning, that can win you a lot of games. And that's, there's a lot of teams that do that. Oklahoma has done that numerous times.
Right.
Of it doesn't really matter what happens the other six innings. If you score 12 runs in one of the innings, that's usually going to get it done.
You ain't losing, I'll
Right.
tell
Yes. So unfortunately, as we saw during Super Regionals, that'll be the end.
that.
But there's. I think that while there is validity to why do you have to include the seventh inning after you have a 7-run first inning, some of that too is also credit to Florida because they're a really good team. They're at home. They're not, they had a bad inning. They stuck with it and, had an opportunity.
Right. Yeah. The reason the seventh inning is in here is because you had to finish.
Yeah.
And there was some gritty stuff in there. I was honestly a little surprised how well it did. 6 of 15 ballots. It was very high on a lot of people's lists. And that's why it eventually got in via tiebreaker as the five spot. But yeah, it was just a great start to the weekend. Rest of the weekend, whatever. But
Well, I
it was a
think,
great start.
well, and this too kind of shows, the mentality that we talk about when you're talking about the selection, the seating and how, fans have a tendency to look at series and say, well, if you lose the series, it puts this huge damper, but just going on the road and winning a game at Florida is huge.
That's something that we talk about
Right.
in the broadcast. Like, you just won a game at the number two RPI team.
Right.
It's pretty good.
You want to win every game, you want to win the series. But I think that's one of the mentalities that the way that the tournament is done and the way that postseason is done and everything now, metrics, you kind of have to look at these things as single games, and that's just a big win. So I think that is, and I think coaches and players and, you know, staff members and people, a lot of people that are voting in this have come to understand that. And that's why, you know, that there were several nominees like that South Carolina nominee where, yeah, the, you know, over a 3-game series, not a real memorable thing that you want to think about, but that one game was great and it was important. Like this one was.
Let's play it.
Let's do it.
Here we go. This is the first, and then a couple hours later, seventh inning.
Due to time constraints, we move ahead in our coverage.
At Florida game one. Number five, our moments of 2025 countdown. Here we go. Here we go.
You love sports. We live sports. Subscribe to Sports Illustrated Magazine and get the inside stories, bold opinions, and iconic photography that define the game. Don't wait. Go to si.com/mmqboffer and join the legacy today.
It's the Florida Gators and the Alabama Crimson Tide, the first of three here in Gainesville. We're about to get underway, but before we do that, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. SEC Freshman of the Week, Audrey Vandegrift, will lead things off for the Crimson Tide. Left-handed hitting left fielder steps in, and the first pitch is low for ball one, and we are underway. Vandegrift batting .430 on the year, 55 of 128, 42 runs scored, 5 doubles, 2 triples, 4 homers, and 23 runs driven in. Grounds that one foul, 1-1. Of course, had the walk-off homer against Oklahoma on Monday.
And what a fun matchup this is to immediately start. You've got last year's SEC Freshman of the Year and Keegan Rothrock in the circle against someone who certainly is going to be in contention for Freshman of the Year. And like you said, the SEC Freshman of the Week in the conference.
The 1-1, a little bit low. 2-2 on Vandegrift.
And Rothrock has missed some time this year with injury. Just starting to come back. Made a return against Florida State a few weeks ago.
That one's fouled back. 2-2.
You're going to see mid to high 60s, rise and drop. Change up, that's kind of more of a chase pitch. Lowest strike rate. You're going to see rise high and away a lot to lefties. So with two strikes, if I'm Vandegrift, I'm prepared for something elevated away.
2-2 is in the dirt. And the count is full. 3-2.
And Alabama's seen Rothrock a lot. Last year, she threw 20 innings against the Crimson Tide, had a 1.75 ERA.
She looks in, and here comes a payoff pitch to Vandegrift, and she fouls it off. We'll do it again. 3-2. Defensive alignment for the Gators. Otis in left, Falby in center, Shoemaker in right, Kahalen at third, Kamiya at short, Williams at second, Walsh at first, with Erickson behind the plate catching Rothrock. Holtorf is the DP. Another 3-2 pitch. That one's lined just off Kahalen's glove into left field. 4 base hit. And Audrey Vandegrift is on to start things off for the Crimson Tide here in the first.
And this is immediately where the chess match begins, right? You know, Vandegrift, one of the best base stealers in America, leads the country, taking on one of the best catchers in America, Jocelyn Erickson. Erickson has caught 6 base stealers in 19 attempts, but has not caught anybody in conference play.
Callie Hevlin will step in, and here comes the first pitch, and it's high for ball one. Hevlin batting .375, 45 of 120, 27 runs scored. 6 doubles, 3 triples, leads the team with 12 homers and 35 runs driven in.
1-for-10 all time against Florida with an RBI.
That pitch misses outside and taking off and stealing second, as not catching the throw cleanly was Kamiya, and Vandegrift, the nation's leader in stolen bases, adds one. She now has 47 in 53 attempts.
Really good throw by Erickson right here, but the issue is Kamiya couldn't field it cleanly. She was trying to make the tag before she had the ball secured. Would have had her if she did. Now runner in scoring position.
And 2-0 count on Hevlin. There's a strike, 2-1. Umpires for today's ball game, Scott Mayer is behind home plate. Tatum Solting at first and Alex Sleep, the third base umpire. Two of those three umpires we had this past weekend.
Had Scott Mayer on Monday behind the plate.
That one comes in high, 3-0.
We'll see if he is as generous with the lower part of the zone as he was on Monday. That was something that a couple drop ball pitchers really took advantage of at times. Also, at times, that part disappeared.
Mm-hmm. The 3-1 is a called strike. And that was in the lower part of the zone, and the count is full. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Payoff pitch. That one misses low for ball four, and now runners are on first and second with nobody out.
Interesting that Rothrock went with the changeup right there on the 3-2. Good take by Hevelin, and this has kind of been the bugaboo for Rothrock since coming back from injury. You know, last four appearances, a 7 ERA in 18 innings with 9 walks to just 15 strikeouts. Normally, that's a bigger difference.
Brooke Elsad puts a bunt down. Kahalen comes in from third to field it, and she throws it to nobody at first base. One run will score. Here comes Hevelin. She will score as well. And the E5 brings in two, and Alabama takes a 2-0 lead.
Tim Walton wants to calm everybody down because Alabama just did Alabama things. Chaos on the base paths, starting with a great bunt by Elistad, one of the very few bunts down the third base side that we've seen this year. But that's where you need it to be in this situation. Florida, I'm not quite sure what was going on. Kahalen was playing very deep. Took a long time for Williams to come and cover first from second base. And then just a catastrophe in right. Shoemaker could not pick up the ball. That allowed Hevelin to come in to score with ease. And that is how you make a statement in the first inning. Alabama has not done that a ton in the big games, but so far so good here tonight.
Still waiting for the final official scoring decision. That should probably just be a sacrifice for Elistad. No RBIs and a 2-run error.
You could argue maybe 2 errors on the play, perhaps.
Abby Dukeshire is the batter, and the first pitch to her is a called strike.
You know, I say that because Hevelin had stopped at third and then saw that Shoemaker dropped the ball, so there might be a second error charged on that play. We'll see.
Elistad made it to second during all that. And that came in, and that hit Dukeshire on the elbow. So Abby Dukeshire will take first. And Alabama, you talked about how much Florida likes to jump out on people in the first inning. Alabama trying to head that off at the pass here in the top of the first.
Well, and again, this is exactly what Rothrock has been struggling with since coming back. This is supposed to be that rise ball high and end, just clips the elbow.
First pitch is bunted by Valentine in front of home plate, and they'll throw down to first just in time to get Riley on the sacrifice. Williams had to kind of hunt around to find the first base bag there, but she did in time on the throw from Erickson. There's one down on the second sacrifice of the inning.
Yeah, Florida defensively just seems really unsettled. That's a beautiful bunt by Valentine. Good play by Erickson to get the throw out quickly.
First pitch to Marley Giles is a called strike. They do 2 errors on that play. Marley Giles takes that pitch high. 1 ball and 1 strike. Both there was an E5 and an E9 on the sacrifice by Elistad.
And now a great chance for Marley to cash in against the team she's had a lot of success against in her career.
1-1. Giles grounds that one through for a base hit into right field. One run will score. Dukeshire will stay at third. But Marley Giles brings in a run on the first RBI of the inning for Alabama. The Crimson Tide now leads at 3-0.
Well, Marley entered this series hitting .444 all time against the Gators. She knows Rothrock. She's seen Rothrock. She was ready for this pitch. Elevated outer half of the plate. That's on a tee for where Marley typically likes to go. Just got it right through the 3-4 hole. Easy hold for Dukeshire at third. You can keep on trucking here in the first inning.
Yeah, Jocelyn Erickson calls timeout. She'll go out and talk with the entire Florida infield. There is no action right now in the pitching lab for the Gators. On just a beautiful evening here in Gainesville, 82 degrees at first pitch. Sunny skies, not much wind at all. Just a gorgeous evening, and one that Alabama is enjoying so far as they lead it 3-0 here with one out in the top of the first.
Well, and I'll say this. Down on the field pregame, the environment all the way around kind of felt a little flat. So I was curious about the first inning because I wanted to see who grabbed momentum. Right now, it's Alabama.
Lauren Johnson's first, the first pitch to Lauren Johnson, excuse me, is in there for a called strike. Lojo batting an even 400, 20 of 50, 15 runs scored, four doubles, a triple, a homer, and 17 runs driven in.
All time against Florida, 2 for 9.
Swings and misses there. No balls and two strikes.
And hitting 407 this year against ranked teams, Lojo has been excellent on the road in SEC play. This is who you want up, and now down 0-2, you've got a battle.
The 0-2 pitch. Johnson bloops this one. That's going to fall for a base hit into left field. Duescher will score. Giles digs for third. She'll slide in safely. Johnson takes second, and an RBI from Lauren Johnson. It's now 4-0 Alabama here in the first inning.
If I'm Florida, I'm thinking about a change here. This isn't working because this is an 0-2 that I know Steph is mad about. You know, I'm going to put on my Michelle Smith hat. This 0-2 is way too sweet. She's trying to get the inner half, but it just leaks over the white. It does not get in enough, quick enough, and get another run in.
That will bring up Saylen Hawkins. First pitch to her is a called strike. Hawkins batting 287. 27 of 94, 15 runs scored with four doubles and nine RBIs.
And what a career she's had against the Gators back in Mississippi State.
Fouls that one back 0-2.
You ready for this? 4 for 8 with three RBIs and a home run.
Wow.
Walk, strikeout, three runs scored as well.
She put at least one up on top of the pitching lab in left field in batting practice yesterday.
Another 0-2. Let's see where Rothrock goes.
That one comes in high. One ball, two strikes.
Yeah, that's the location that the Lauren Johnson pitch was supposed to go to.
Rothrock looks in. The 1-2 pitch. Johnson swing, or excuse me, Hawkins fouls it back. Stays alive at 1-2. Alabama leads the all-time series 46-43 over Florida. Last season, the Gators took 2 of 3 from the Tide in Tuscaloosa before knocking Alabama out of the Women's College World Series with a 6-4 Gator victory in an elimination game. 1-2 is outside, two balls and two strikes. Here in Gainesville, the Tide holds a 21-12 advantage, having won the last four series against the Gators dating back to 2014.
It's very weird the way this rivalry is.
2-2. Hawkins fouls it back. We'll do it again. Two balls, two strikes.
We've talked about it. In Tuscaloosa, edge Gators. In Gainesville, edge Alabama. At neutral sites, minus that one time, pretty much edge Gators. But Alabama's got a pretty big advantage here on the road.
Another 2-2 comes in, and that hits Hawkins on the left ankle. And she'll kind of hobble down to first. I'm sure that does not feel good, but it does load the bases here with one out. Second batter hit in the inning by Rothrock.
Yeah, this has just totally unraveled for Keegan Rothrock. That's a situation that started 0-2, and she threw some good pitches there, but just hurting herself in the latter half of the count. And now interesting to see what Kristen White conjures up. Will she hit away with one out?
First pitch to her is a called strike. Ninth batter of the inning is Kristen White. She's batting 365, 27 of 74, 20 runs scored with five RBIs on the year.
0 for 3 with the bases loaded. 3 for 7 all time against Florida.
Slaps that one into left field. Foul ground. The catch is made. Giles will fake the tag and not come in. So the fly out. Catch by Otis, and there's two gone.
Yeah, White just a little under this one. Rise ball from Rothrock. Kristen trying to do the chip shot, goes station to station, but good play by Otis, good defensive alignment by Florida.
Back to the top of the order, and Audrey Vandegrift, who singled and scored earlier in the inning. It's 4-0 Alabama. First pitch. This is inside for ball one. Bases loaded. Two outs. Alabama trying to add to the 4-0 lead here in the first.
Vandegrift this year 0-for-1 with the bases loaded.
That pitch is a strike. 1-1.
And right now, maybe the biggest winner in all this, Jocelyn Brisky. You know, she's got to be just pumped with confidence already. That was coming in, and now your team's given you at least four runs.
Vandegrift, that's a fair ball down the left field line, and that's going to get all the way to the wall. One run will score. Two runs will score. Hawkins motoring for home. It's cut off the throw, and that's a 3-RBI double by the SEC Freshman of the Week, and the Crimson Tide has busted it open here in the first inning with a touchdown. It's 7-0.
Wonderful piece of hitting by Vandegrift right here. What we talk about, well, Rothrock is going to try and attack the outer half. That's what she's trying to do, but this is another mistake. Just over the plate, Vandegrift right on it, just past Kahalen at third, a lot of speed on base, and now 7 runs in the inning, only 1 earned.
First pitch to Callie Hevlin. Misses. Ooh. For ball one.
I thought she went. Yeah.
She did go. Okay. Check swing. She went too far around. Strike one. Hevlin walked and scored earlier in the inning.
That was today. Remember that?
That one bounces in. 2 balls and no strikes. This has been a lot of information in 30 seconds.
Well, and also remember, like, a very small thing, but way back at the beginning of this inning when Vandegrift took second, if Kamiya fields that cleanly, you probably got her. Oh, my.
Oh, Hevlin takes that one on the left knee. That's a third batter hit by Keegan Rothrock in this inning. And it continues.
Someone's warming up very quickly. I believe that's Olivia Miller in the Florida pen. If she's ready, Tim Walton's got to make the move, and here he comes. I mean, man, Keegan Rothrock is such a great player. This is almost unfathomable, frankly, what we're watching her give the Crimson Tide with some of these mistakes and some of these free passes.
Yeah, here comes Tim Walton.
Wow.
And this is the second meeting in the circle for him, so it does have to, there has to be a change, and Rothrock is going to come out. We'll keep it here. Is my goodness, what a first inning for Alabama. They have taken advantage of some Florida miscues, but Alabama has created a lot of that chaos on their own.
Absolutely. You know, you have work counts. Some of the longer counts have ended in free passes, good pieces of hitting. You've got 4 hits on a lot of various different things. And again, I think the thing that really sticks out to me is that stolen base. You know, it's so much about the little things in this league. And you had a freshman running in Vandegrift, a freshman at short covering second, who was there in time, did not secure the ball before trying to make a tag. I think if she's got the ball in her glove, Vandegrift's probably out because it was that good a throw by Erickson. But they dropped it, and then Alabama was off to the races, and now Florida, in the first inning, has to make a pitching change.
With this call to the bullpen, I remind you that Alabama softball is brought to you by Barkley GMC, the best place to buy a vehicle in Tuscaloosa, and proud sponsors of the Crimson Tide. Visit BarkleyGMC.com today. Barkley makes it easy. So Keegan Rothrock will turn things over. Rothrock's line, 2/3 of an inning pitched, 4 hits, 7 runs, 1 earned, 1 walk, no strikeouts. She hit 3 batters, and she's responsible for the 2 runners on base. And she's being replaced by the lefty, Olivia Miller.
Miller, a 2.18 ERA, 4-0 record, 12th appearance, 25 2/3 innings, 20 hits, 10 runs, 8 earned, 10 walks, 18 strikeouts, 4.92 ERA this season against ranked teams. Lower velocity, low 60s, curve and drops. You're going to see much more down specific from Miller than you would have from Rothrock. Good change at about 53. And again, it all kind of starts with the curve. If you want to attack early in the count, I would say a good 70% of the time it'll be the curveball, and that'll be the adjustment that Alabama hitters have to make because, I mean, shoot, you get another base hit here, you're already way early in the run rule margin you need to be.
Brooke Ellisad will be the batter. She landed on a sacrifice bunt that led to 2 runs on a couple errors her first time up, and the first pitch is in there for a called strike from Miller. 200 down the lines, 220 to straightaway center field, 6-foot wall all the way around here at KPS Stadium as that one misses outside. 1 ball and 1 strike. And the Florida crowd here is kind of in a stunned silence. Ellisad with a 1 hopper to first. Nice backhanded play made by Walsh, and that'll do it for the Tide here in the first inning, but quite the first inning for Alabama.
Wow. 7 runs, and you did a little bit of everything. You kept it going. You utilized your weapons. You capitalized on mistakes, and you have given Jocelyn Brisky quite the cushion. She can pitch free as a bird the rest of the way, and she hasn't even thrown a pitch yet in this game.
For the Crimson Tide, 7 runs on 4 hits. There were 2 errors and 2 runners left on base. We played a half inning. Alabama 7, Florida coming to bat here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from the airfield. We head to the bottom of the first inning. Alabama with a 7-0 lead over Florida. And here is the Alabama Power starting lineup for the 7th-ranked Florida Gators. They are 37-9 overall, 9-6 in the SEC. They are 16-5 here at KPS this season. They lost their last game as they were able to take 2-3 from Ole Miss, but Ole Miss won game number 3 on Sunday. Leading things off is a center fielder, Kendra Falby. Jocelyn Erickson catching, batting 2nd. Taylor Shoemaker, the right fielder, batting 3rd. Batting 4th is Corby Otis, left field. Mia Williams, 2nd base, batting 5th. Kenlika Halen, 3rd base, batting 6th. Batting 7th is Reagan Walsh, the first baseman. Gabby Camilla, the shortstop, bat 8th. And batting 9th is Riley Holtorf. The first pitch to Falby misses, a little low for ball 1. And that pitch was thrown by the right-handed sophomore from Phoenix, Arizona, Jocelyn Brisky. Brisky on the year with a 2.63 ERA and an 11-10 record. The 1-0 to Falby is high, 2 balls and no strikes. 33rd appearance for Brisky on the year, her 18th start. She has 3 complete games. She's pitched 114 and 2/3 innings. 103 hits, 61 runs, 43 have been earned. She's walked 55, struck out 82. Opponents batting 231 against Brisky on the year, but she's now down the count 3-0 to Falby.
And she has struggled a little bit against Florida. Now remember, she was just coming back from injury in the regular season matchup. Didn't throw all that great in the World Series against them.
3-0s right there, 3-1. Falby on the year, batting 463. 68 of 147, 55 runs scored, 6 doubles, 2 triples, 2 homers, 24 runs driven in.
An electric player all the way around.
3-1 is slap foul, and then the count moves to 3-2.
Gold Glove winner, 2-time All-SEC, 3rd in the league in batting average, hitting .533 in the last 5 games, .420 against ranked teams, but against Alabama, just .174 all-time. Does have an RBI, but has struck out a lot against tie pitching throughout her career.
Now the payoff pitch coming from Brisky, and it's low for ball 4, and Falby draws a leadoff walk. The defensive alignment for the Crimson Tide, Vandegrift in left, White in center, Johnson in right, Elsett at 3rd, Hawkins at short, Hevlin at 2nd, Dukeshire at 1st, with Valentine behind the plate catching Brisky, and Giles is the DP.
The defense will have to be really ready all weekend, but especially now. Falby can run, see if she takes off.
First pitch to Jocelyn Erickson. Backdoors in for a called strike. Erickson batting .339. 42 of 124, 41 runs scored, 10 doubles, 2 triples, 13 homers, and 45 runs driven in. The 0-1 comes in a little inside, 1 ball, 1 strike.
Last year's SEC Player of the Year, who just ripped Alabama to shreds. I mean, in the 4 meetings, hit .636 with 5 RBIs, a homer, and 3 walks. Great eye at the plate.
1-1 pitch. That one gets past Valentine. And taking 2nd is Falby. And Riley got crossed up on that one, so she's going to go out and talk with Brisky.
I'm not quite sure what happened there. I wonder if that was just a missed rise ball location or what. Looked like Valentine was ready for something outside, and that came high and in.
The 2-1. That one bounces in, and the 2nd straight wild pitch will move Falby to 3rd.
Now Brisky's got to find that rhythm right now. These are some of the misses that we saw before the Oklahoma series.
The count's 3-1 on Erickson. 3-1 pitch is in there for a strike, and the count is full, 3-2. So Brisky has gone full with both the batters to start things off. Ended up walking Falby, and the 2 wild pitches have put her on 3rd. Payoff pitch. That one is grounded to 3rd. Elsad makes a stop, looks the runner back, and gets the first out of the inning. So Erickson grounds out. And no run scores.
Look, I'm not one to criticize the base running of Kendra Falby, and Tim Walton's very, very good at what he does. But the way Elistad had to go and get that, if Falby taken off, if Brooke's trying to throw home, she's got to totally stop what she's doing and reverse her body. I might have sent her right there.
Taylor Shoemaker steps in the first pitch. Misses high, a little inside for ball 1. Shoemaker batting 370. 54 of 146, 53 runs scored, 14 doubles, a triple, 14 homers, and 61 runs driven in. Called strike, 1-1.
Yeah, needs to step up the conference stats a little bit, but National Freshman of the Year competition, oh, she is way out there, up there with Tori Edwards and some of the other really good youngsters across America.
The 1-1. Just missed a touch inside, 2-1.
Hitting just 211, though, in the last five. She's very, very impressive. Got to call the Alliance All-Star Game, watch her in action this summer. Just so much pop in that bat. Great personality, too.
2-1, swung on and missed. Two balls and two strikes. One out, runner on third. Alabama leads at 7-0 here in the bottom of the first inning. One hopper to second. Hevlin thought about going home, but decided to go the first. The right play. Falby comes in to score, but there's now two outs, and Bama leads it 7-1.
Well, shout out to Florida for the response stat. And if this is maybe 1-0 or 2-0, Hevlin might be thinking about going home. I'm not. It would have been bang bang. It's 7-1 now.
Yeah.
You're okay with that. Don't take any risks. You're fine. Good job by Brisky getting out the very talented freshman.
So now two outs, nobody on for the left fielder, Corby Otis. First pitch. Inside for ball one. Otis batting 349, 44 of 126, 35 runs scored, 6 doubles, 5 homers, 37 runs driven in.
First team All-American a season ago.
Pulls back the bunt. Takes a called strike, 1-1.
Against Alabama last year, hit 400, 4 of 10, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, 4 runs scored. Really woken up lately, 474 average in the last five.
1-1. One hopper off of Brisky to Hawkins. Hawkins one hops the throw and gets her just in time. For the third out, as I look to see if there may possibly be a review, doesn't look like it. And that'll do it for the Gators here in the first.
That's a really good job by Hawkins recovering. She was going to be in the right spot, but then Brisky just put the glove up. And still, Hawkins in the right spot. Play it first. Yeah, I think they got her. And that, even though they scored a run and responded, it's a pretty good job by Brisky.
For the Gators in the first, one run on no hits, no errors, and nobody left. We played an inning. It's Alabama 7, Florida 1 here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from the airfield. We head to the seventh inning. Alabama looking for some more insurance as they lead it 7-3 over Florida here in Gainesville. Dukeshire, Valentine, and Giles do up 4-5-6. Kara Hammack back out for her second inning of work for the Gators. And the first pitch to Abby Dukeshire, low and away for ball one. Dukeshire's 0-2 with a run scored.
Still have not seen the replay of that double play. I hit her foot.
Yep, that is grounded all the way to third off her left foot. But that will be a foul ball. 1-1.
Either way, good awareness by Callie Hevlin. It was just so confusing because Williams was running and then kind of stopped. That's that play. I guess we're never going to see it again. It's okay.
Yeah, it went right off the inside of the left foot of Dukeshire. Tim Walton out to ask, and now the umpires will get together and discuss things.
Well, we've got a great view of pretty much everything from home plate down the left field and third base line.
And the visiting radio booth here at KPS is a little bit down the first base line.
Well, I did ask Brisky in pregame, hey, anything in the air, please keep it on the left side.
Sure.
So we can see it.
Which we appreciate. An extended discussion. I mean, it was a great acting job by Dukeshire if this didn't hit her, but it did. It hit some of the ground too, but I think it also hit the foot. And I don't think Tim Walton asked for a review, but this might be umpire initiated. We can do that in the last two innings.
Florida has elected to challenge.
Well, here's the thing, because a dead ball was called.
Right.
Dukeshire never ran down to first.
We're not doing this again.
The whole replay system is predicated on not placing runners. But, like, you can't. Like, the throw, I guess the throw was made down to first, but
Dukeshire. Well, so was the one in the Arkansas game.
Right. But Dukeshire did not run because the dead ball had been called.
Here's the other thing I'll ask. Do you see anything indisputable that this did not hit Dukeshire's foot?
No. I mean, again, the.
After review, the ball hit the batter's foot.
There we go. So the foul ball is called and upheld. Had it not been, I don't know what we would have done.
Ah, well.
Someone would have to go find a rule book, and we might have been tap dancing for a minute.
I'll give Maddie a call.
The 1-1, Dukeshire fouls this one off, this time down the right field line out of play. 1 ball and 2 strikes.
So in the last inning, we were going around the horn. How about some out-of-SEC scores? Top of the 7th, Oklahoma State and UCF tied at 0. Yeah.
Huh. The 1-2 swung on and missed for strike 3. Dukeshire chased, and there's one gone.
Top of the 6th, Pitt still leads Virginia Tech 6-5. Top of the 7th, Duke leads Notre Dame 5-4. And Louisiana walks off South Alabama 2-1 in 8 innings. We know the feeling. Shout out to Allie.
Riley Valentine is the batter now. She's 2-for-2 on the day. First pitch inside, almost hit her for ball 1. Riley laid down a sacrifice in the first, singled in the second, doubled in the 5th.
And I think with Hammock, you just got to be a little patient because of those free passes she'll give.
Another one that almost hits her. 2-0 the count. Sun has set on a beautiful evening here in Gainesville. We're in dusk. The 2-0. That one's fouled away. 2 balls and a strike. Like, for Gainesville, very low humidity today.
It's felt really good. Even this morning when I took a call.
2-1 is outside, 3-1.
You know, it felt good.
Yeah.
It was a little hot, but not sticky.
You don't
pre-game.
You don't want the stickiness.
No.
The 3-1. Valentine went too far around on a check swing on what would have been ball 4.
Yeah, Alabama just wants so badly to crush something. They're not taking what's being given by Hammock right now.
Payoff. Ground ball to short. Stop made by Camilla. The throw's in time, and Valentine is gone. There's 2 on here in the 7th.
Yeah, just not adjusting quick enough. There hasn't been like a really powerful swing. You know, Riley had that double earlier. That was good, but just a lot of guiding the ball right now from the Alabama offense.
Ooh. First pitch to Giles. She was trying to put a powerful swing on it, but she came up empty. Marley's 1-for-3. An RBI single and a run scored back in the first. The 0-1 low, 1-1. One. Giles fouls that one off her foot. Ball and 2 strikes.
What a weird game.
It was, yes.
The vibes have been just off all day.
Just crazy. 1-2. Giles swings and misses. 4-strike-3. And that'll do it for Alabama here in the 7th. So no insurance, but the Tide still leads it by 4.
Yeah, just, man, you put a little bit too much pressure on your pitching staff to have to finish this off after the 7 runs in the top of the first. Maybe this is one of those situations, should you close this out, where Patrick Murphy can be happy you won, but this is there's a lot of teaching that's going to go on tonight before game two, because Alabama really had a shot to truly slam the door, maybe get a run rule. Now you just got to make sure you don't let the Gators get the tying run to the plate.
For the Tide in the seventh, no runs, no hits, no errors, no runners left. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning, the last chance for the Gators. It's 7-3 Alabama. Here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning, the last chance for Florida. Alabama with a 7-3 lead over the Gators. It's the bottom of the order due up for Florida here in the seventh. Walsh, Kamiya, and Holtorf. Caitlin Riley looking to finish things off. And here comes the first pitch to Reagan Walsh. A called strike. Walsh is 1-for-2. A line out in the second, singled in the fifth, and her pinch runner came around to score.
Another reason why that double play was so big.
The 0-1 is low, 1-1.
You know, if you power through this, you do not have to see the top of the order again. Jocelyn Erickson's up in this seventh inning. You feel nervous about what could happen.
1-1, fouled away, ball and two strikes. One change on the field for Alabama. Larissa Pruitt is your new right fielder. Late inning change that we've seen here recently with Pruitt not in the starting lineup. A stronger arm than Lauren Johnson, so she'll come in late innings. The 1-2. Ground ball to short. Nice stop by Hawkins. Makes a throw for out number one.
Really good job. That's one of those worm burners that can sometimes be tough.
Looks
Hawkins
like me.
Stayed down on it, made a nice play.
Looks like me off the 13th tee. Just right on along.
I'm not going to disagree.
Thank you. You're supposed to say, no,
you're welcome.
You're a good golfer.
No, Rory, what do you mean? What do you mean?
You'll have a pinch hitter here for Florida.
It's Ava Brown. Give her a line after this pitch.
First pitch to her. Comes in high for ball one.
15 of 59, 12 RBIs, 4 homers, 3 doubles, 15 runs scored. That average is 254. Does have a good OBP.
The 1-0, called strike. We'll probably see her in the circle at some point this weekend.
At some point. And normally when she starts in the circle, that's when you'll see her hitting in the lineup.
Right in there for a called strike, 1-2. The 1-2 pitch. That's going to be lined in the left center field gap, and that's going to get all the way to the wall. White will field it and get it in, but sliding in safely with a one-out double is Ava Brown.
On an 0-2 pitch, this is the last result that you want to see, a barreled-up double. Just hangs up. That drop's supposed to sink a lot more than it does. And if you leave something up like that, any hitter in the SEC is going to take advantage, especially with two strikes.
That brings up Riley Holtorf. One out runner on second. First pitch is a called strike. Holtorf is 1-for-2. A ground out in the third and an RBI single in the fifth. Low and away, 1-1.
A must out right here with Falby on deck. Again, Falby not one to put one over the fence all that often. She can.
1-1. Just missed. Little Lamb, 2-1.
But you put yourself in this spot by not getting any of those extra runs and all those chances.
2-1, fouled away. Two balls, two strikes.
You know, just too quiet after that first inning. You know, on the scoreboard, 7-3 looks really good, but it's just not been that type of game.
2-2. Oh, barely got a piece. Fouling it away. Does Holtorf. We'll do it again. Two balls and two strikes.
Tennessee walked it off, 4-2. Over Auburn to take game one in Knoxville.
2-2 pitch. Rise ball high, and the count is full, 3-2.
I think you got to throw that there just to change the eye level. Now we'll see what the 3-2 pitch location is. Probably something low and away.
Here comes the payoff. Grounded just foul down the third baseline. Count remains, 3-2. With the 4-runner lead, you still have the tying run in the hole, so you got a little bit of cushion to play with, but you got to get outs. You don't want to see that tying run come to the plate in any form or fashion. Another 3-2, another foul ball.
We do not have any view at all of the Alabama bullpen.
No clue. Another 3-2 coming in. Another foul ball.
I don't know what got into Riley Holtorf. Right now, fouling off everything Caitlin Riley's got. Drop, off speed.
10th pitch of the at-bat, on its way. Grounded to third, it's a fair ball. Elstad's throw is a little offline, but caught by Dukeshire. Even though Dukeshire and Holtorf made contact, Dukeshire did a great job to hold on to that ball and hold on to the bag. So now two out, Kendra Falby. Last chance for the Gators, and the first pitch misses outside for ball one. So you have Brown on third. That pitch is a called strike, 1-1. Falby is 1-for-1. She's reached base all three plate appearances. 2 walks, a single, and a run scored.
It's kind of regular old Kendra Falby.
1-1. Ground ball to second, and Hevlin won't be able to make the play. Tried to backhand it. Brown will come in to score. And it's now 7-4, Crimson Tide.
This will be an error on Hevlin. And probably a play she's got to move her feet more for. You know, we've seen her make these types of plays, moving to her right, but kind of stops. It got on her quickly.
It came up on her, yeah.
But if she takes another half step, you'll probably just merely knock it down.
And Jocelyn Erickson is hit by the first pitch she sees.
Oh, boy. And Murph's question has got to be, did she lean forward into this?
Yeah.
Because that elbow, again, I think that's part of her natural swing, but that elbow comes forward just a little bit.
And I think the challenge is going to be made here by Patrick Murphy.
Boy, that might have been... Oh, boy. She's over.
Yeah, she's over the plate.
Because it hit her forearm, which is over and right up against the plate. Oh, that. This might be coming back.
Just housekeeping, it is an RBI single for Kendra Falby. They did not charge an error.
Really?
On Callie Hevlin.
I mean, this is over the plate.
Yeah, she chicken winged the arm out there.
The umpires are watching the replay.
But they don't make the call on it. Now it's,
right.
Now it's given to Birmingham.
Now, boy, that sure looks to me like it's over the plate.
Yeah. And you don't have to try to get out of the way of a pitch, but you can't move your arm into it over the plate, which looks as like what happened here, in our opinion. Obviously huge. It'll go down from either the tying run coming to the plate or
I'm still
the
shocked.
Ball or a strike.
They ruled that a hit, by the way, on Falby.
Well, yeah, like I said, it got on Hevlin really quickly. This is taking a while, which I think is a good sign for Alabama.
I think that's good. But
who knows?
It would be a ball if this is reversed. Here we go.
After review, the call in the field is upheld. Hit by pitch.
Really?
I don't know anymore. So now it does bring the tying run to the plate on the hit by pitch. Taylor Shoemaker, who's 0-for-3 on the day with an RBI ground out.
No mistakes right here. Got to keep this ball down.
First pitch.
Nice.
Called strike. Really nice pitch on the outside edge.
I keep attacking away. Mix speeds well.
The 0-1. That's line to left on the run, and it will be just foul. That one is because of the power of Shoemaker. Vandegrift is playing almost on the warning track. If she's playing at normal depth, she might have had a chance to track that one down and make the catch, but instead it's a foul ball.
I thought it was going to get to Vandegrift.
Yeah.
That really played tricks on my eyes. That looked a lot sharper off the bat than I thought.
Now the 0-2 pitch. Shoemaker with a fly ball to left. Vandegrift is there. She will make the catch for out number 3. And the Gators do bring the tying run to the plate here in the 7th, but Alabama wins the ball game by a final score of 7-4.
Yikes. Is it okay to say yikes after a win at a top 10 team? But man, this is going to be a whole kit and caboodle to talk about in postgame for this coaching staff to evaluate, because you learned a really, really important lesson tonight that you got to put away teams. You have to. Florida made this extremely scary. A lot of credit to their relief pitchers who kept their offense in the game. If you're Alabama, the Florida saw Brisky and Riley. Like, a lot. You won this game, but there's a lot that you got to make sure you tighten up for the rest of this weekend.
For the Gators here in the 7th, 1 run on 2 hits, no errors, and 2 left. Final score, Alabama 7, Florida 4, 7 runs on 6 hits, 1 error and 5 left for the Tide. 4 runs on 6 hits, 2 errors and 5 left for the Gators with the win. Alabama improves to 31-16 overall. They're 8-8 in conference play on a 3-game winning streak. Florida falls to 37-10 overall, 9-7 in the conference. They've lost 2 in a row. The winning pitcher is Jocelyn Brisky. Caitlin Riley gets a save for Brisky. She's now 12-10. Riley, her 2nd save of the year. Keegan Rothrock will take the loss for Florida. She's now 10-4. We'll take a timeout, come back with the Alabama softball postgame report right after this here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
So there we go, number 5, Florida, game 1, first 7th innings. I had forgotten until I was listening to it how crucial some of those early ABs were. You know, some of those full count reaches from Audrey Vandegrift and Callie Hevelin and some of the early pieces. Also, very significant that was just not a good Keegan Rothrock game. She was hitting people left and right. And then Vandegrift having the bases clearing hit was kind of the icing on the cake in that first inning.
And yeah, there was also the error play by Florida, but it was because of those at-bats that you're talking about that Alabama put themselves in a situation to take advantage of those errors.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a great game.
Yeah,
at Florida, took the crowd out,
which is a weird crowd at Florida anyway.
Yeah,
like Florida people were saying this was a weird crowd. I was like, well, yeah, you guys would know.
It was up 7-0, and they were quiet for a while until the 7th inning, which you heard.
Sure,
and then you kind of had to just bear down pitching wise. You figured it out. You got out of it. So, yeah, that's number 5.
Then they play opera after the game for some reason.
Of course, as one does.
Sure. Sometimes people get golden tickets after games there.
We don't need to talk about that.
No, skip that.
So the other theme in this year's moments list is a lot of regular season. We can talk about that later. But number 4 is not from the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay. You have to wait until next week to find out what it is.
Cliffhanger.
Yes. But for now, I don't know. Anything else to add about number 5 or anything else we talked about in this pod?
Well, just note, like, the next 4 podcasts probably won't be as long as this one.
Yeah, that's true. It's like a 7-minute intro and then boom, audio, and then boom, we're done.
Right. But as per usual, we're not going to apologize for the length of podcast.
Yeah. Guess what? I don't care. All right. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we'll be back with our longer pods in like December.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The 3-hour pods are back. They'll be.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
When we have the Patagasso, Patrick Murphy, Charlotte Morgan
Oh.
episode? Tease?
Sure.
Maybe.
Wow, not much of a mystery team.
I don't know. I haven't asked anybody. I'm
Right.
just, yeah, it's a
It's true.
possibility.
We'll
It's a
see.
possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's number five. Next week, Tuesday drops the rest of the way, August 26th. You will hear number four. Tuesday after that, you hear number three. Tuesday after that, you hear number two. You'll hear number one the Tuesday following that episode. You understand? Good. So,
Like and subscribe, get all those things.
August 26th, you will hear number four in the top five Alabama 2025 moments countdown. And Tom, yes, we will be tweeting about them from where?
T Canterbury RTR.
Yes. At Gray underscore Robertson, at Out of the Box underscore Pod, like and subscribe to All Softball America things. We would appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. For Tom Canterbury, I'm Gray Robertson. Thanks for tuning in. Number four, next time on the Out of the Box podcast.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.